You know, Teresa asked me to share this morning on women. And women may or may not be mothers, but, you know, the way I look at it, if you're not a mother or not a mother yet, or I don't know, whatever your circumstances are, you were born of a mother, so everybody has a mother, so had a mother. So it's just a day to really celebrate not only mothers, but just womanhood in general. And we're going to be looking at a passage, the whole chapter, actually, of Proverbs 31. So if you will, open your Bible to Proverbs 31 this morning. This day has also been special to me in the fact that 21 years ago today, I gave birth to my first son. So I became a mother for the second time on this very day. So I'm sharing my day with Austin today, and that's okay, too. We've talked this morning. They're traveling back from Texas, and so it's a special day. Proverbs 31. And the lesson today is entitled, A Woman of Noble Character. This is a passage that I know you've all read or heard excerpts from throughout your lives. But we're going to look at it a little closer today. And I have to admit, as I was studying this passage that Teresa shared with me, I said, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with that. We can do that. That's not a problem. I'll work on that and study. And I learned some things. I would say, you know, it's amazing how when you read a verse or you hear it or it's referred to all your life, you think you understand that verse. And I got it. Okay, you know. But then when you really study it and you really allow the Holy Spirit to show you it, how to interpret that and what it really means and try to apply it to today, sometimes it just takes on a whole new side. And I have really enjoyed it. It's like the time I studied the 23rd Psalm. I thought, well, everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. But when you really study it and break it down, and you all know that because you're students of Teresa, and she's so gifted in that ability to do that. But I want to share with you that I was really blessed to study this lesson, so I hope that I can do it justice as I share with you today. The passage represents the ideal woman. Not a particular woman. Keep that in mind. Now, this is not, as we read this, this woman did not actually exist. This was a strive to be figure of speech, sort of description, and we'll get more into that. But it's sort of going to be like the goal of a wife or mother, the goal of a woman of noble character. Would you say that society has changed, though, probably from the time this passage was there to today? And some good things, I think, but some very different things. Women back then were not out in the workplace like they are today. They were definitely there with their children and all aspects and all. And then today we're different. We have a lot of working moms, myself included, and a lot of folks that are working in the home or working out of the home. We have all different types of working mothers, but different responsibilities, a little more shared responsibilities. The men in many homes are doing a little more than doing more in a different kind of way than maybe the men back then. There's some very similar things in this passage, as life as we've known it, is that the men in this passage, though, were the primary breadwinners. And women contributed, though, and they did work, and it was neat. We're going to talk about that, too. So it's just really, there's a lot of similarities there, also some really neat differences. You know, if you look at old magazines, how are mothers depicted? Where do you see them? They're usually in the kitchen, that's right. And there's about three or four pots, and I'm sure there's something in the oven as well. And they are wearing what? A dress, an apron, and everything. And so we want to get that in our minds this morning as we go into that. But then when they're through eating and have cleaned it all up by themselves, they go and sit down and they're reading a book to their child. And they're just, you know, that's just this ideal woman. But we're going to look at it in another way this morning. But I just wanted us to kind of have that moment of reflection. As we think about mothers and grandmothers, you know, also on Mother's Day, not only do we just think about our mothers, I was thinking this morning about women in my life that had contributed to shaping my life. And so I encourage you today to think about that as well. What other women? I'm thinking of a woman, that Miss Regina, and from Baton Rouge when I lived there. And she never did have any children of her own. And so I guess I wanted to call her today and say, Regina, happy Mother's Day. And really, she's not a mother today. I mean, not as far as officially mother for Mother's Day, but she contributed to my life. You know, she mothered me in some ways as a neighbor. You know how moms always share their, and they help with each other's children. Thank goodness it takes a village to raise our kids. But anyway, nonetheless, think about those women today too. And if you have a minute, call them or drop them a card this week and say, it was Mother's Day, I thought about you, and I want to thank you for the contribution you made to my life. If those women are, or you know where they are, you can track them down. But I thought I wanted to throw that in too, just a little side bit. But today we might see mothers carrying briefcases. A lot of mothers today are college educated. We also see women in their workout clothes and their workout bag, and they're all buff, and they're going to curves or going somewhere and working out. We see women having their own checking accounts, some, just a little different, you know. We see women eating out more with their families than cooking as much. And so we now have daycare. They didn't have daycare at the time of this passage. We do a little more of the quick frozen meals sometimes than maybe back then, where they actually, you know, sewed all the clothes and they you know, had the garden, all the food and everything. But nonetheless, there's some neat things here. So what we're looking at in Proverbs 31 is King Lemuel. And I'm probably not saying that correctly, but we're going to say Lemuel today. How about that? But this is such a neat oracle or passage of things that his mother shared with him. Now, it's assumed here that he was the new king, but that he was not necessarily very old. Okay, he wasn't married yet. He was a young boy, still very much under the influence of his mother. However, I was thinking as I was studying about that, when are they not? I think they should always be, don't you think? So anyway, you know what I'm saying there. But he was still receiving instruction from his mother, and it is believed as you study this passage that he was relatively young. And so she was kind of using this opportunity. A little more important also because she knew he was king, or going to be king. So it was really important that she share with him from the very depths of her heart and her belief for the type of woman that he should look for and that he should associate with. So we're going to start out in the first part of Proverbs 31 with the do nots, I call them. There's the do nots and the do's. So in the beginning he says in verse 2, you'll see, O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. Now what he's talking about there, what she was saying to him there is that it's really referring to sexual immorality. Because, see, they had harems back then. And the harems were made up of women from various nations that were brought together to surround the king. And they were really more for alliance purposes so that he could work his plan with these other countries. And so she was saying, you know, be careful here. Be very careful here because some of these women could actually ruin your reputation, could ruin you as a king and actually inhibit your plans and not really be what you think. So be very careful there. And do not spend your strength on women. He's really referring to the sexual side of the relationship. And in verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what the law decrees. Well, what he's saying is there is stay away from alcohol as it will impair your judgment. Well, that's nothing new. We hear that today. But even back then, she was saying, you know, a king, this is different. You're set apart. You're special. Do not forget that this is an important role that you're playing in our community and in this country. And so you must be alert. And you cannot be, I'm counting on you to represent those people who don't have a voice. And that's coming up later in this passage. But don't let your judgment be dulled. And, you know, that's one thing we would tell our children is, you know, we want you to make good decisions. We want to teach our kids to make the right decisions and to use good judgment. It's very important. And keep your mind clear is what she was saying. Have a clarity in your thinking. Okay, and then we kind of go into the do's. She says, I didn't finish verse 5. Lest they drink and forget what the law decrees and deprive all the... Yeah, I did say that. Okay, verse 6. Give beer to those who are perishing and wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Now, this is kind of a different passage. And you think, well, she's telling them to don't drink, but go pass out the beer and go give wine. But what she's saying here is relieve the pain of others. They didn't have prescriptions like we have today and medicines to feel better. So alcohol and the wines and the beers were a way for people to their senses to be dulled a little bit and deal with things and to deal with pain, to deal with sadness or what might be going on in their lives. And so she's saying, give yourself to people who are suffering. Don't overlook them as you're ministering in the kingdom. And she says, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. You know, speak up for others is really what she's saying, is be a man of character. You know, a good man, a man of integrity that's going to see what's going on around him. And I think that's so special. And I do remind us today that is some good advice, you know, that we want to teach our children to be sensitive and to, in this world, to not overlook people, to be caring and concerned about others. And I think that's something we have to teach. I really do. You know, and there's so many opportunities now where we can minister and go visit the sick. You know how you get those emails that are forwarded and forwarded and forwarded. And sometimes I can sit and read them. Sometimes I just have to kind of let a few of them go. You know, it gets in your inbox. But I got one this week, and I was so glad I read it. Just one of those that just, yeah. And what got me was the title, Drugged by My Parents. I thought, wow, I've got to see what this horrible mother did. She drugged her child. That's not what it was about. Have you seen this one? Who's seen this one? Okay, so not everybody. And I can't quote it all, but what I want to share with you is that the point of it was that these men were talking about in this community, they had just busted a big methamphetamine lab nearby in that town. And then we're saying, you know, what has happened? Back during our days, we didn't have drugs like this. And the woman said, I was drugged. I was drugged by my parents. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, I was drugged to church. I was drugged to the funeral home to visit people I didn't care anything about, didn't even know. You know, and he went on, he said, I was drugged to the woodshed when I acted ugly. And if I said anything ugly about my teacher or about my preacher, I was drugged back to the woodshed again. And he just went on and on. And I was drugged to the yard of a neighbor who needed her grass mowed and had no one to do it for. And if I'd have accepted a dime, my mother would have drugged me back to the woodshed. And it just went on and on. And I thought, you know, and it said, thank God for mothers and for parents who drug their children. And so I forwarded it to my best friend, Trish, that I grew up with. And I said, I was drugged. How about you? And she wrote back, me too. And we've laughed over that. And so I think about that as in this passage, taking your children and helping them to see the needs of others and letting them be a part of mission projects, hometown missions, working in people's yards, doing things like that. You know, that is important. And it's even important for us. It's not just for kids, but that's what this mother was sharing with her son. Don't overlook. Don't look beyond and look out there at your goals and dreams, but miss the very people around you that are making it happen, that are shaping your life, and that you have an opportunity to help. So be a man of character. And then finally, the main passage of where we're going in today starts in verse 10. She says, and do all these things, and finally, find an excellent wife. Excellent. Well, that's high up there. You know, that's not good. You know, I went to that thing Friday, the leadership conference that they had over at East Haven Church, and the man spoke that wrote the book Good to Great, and he said the greatest enemy of great is good. And I thought, being good was good. No, it used to be great. And I think that's what she's saying. I want you to just don't settle for good. I want you to look for the excellent woman. And so we're going to look at who she is. Most important thing. Because, you know, that's how we do talk to our kids and say, well, let me tell you a few things. This is it. But whatever, don't forget this. And I think that's how, when she was sharing with her son, she was saying, all these things are important, but you go find an excellent wife. So let's look at verse 10. A wife of noble character. Who can find? Well, it's not impossible. We're working on it, aren't we? We're getting there. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. As I was studying the lesson, I found this was interesting. It said that it's translated to the word rubies, and so, but it's jewels in some passages, and the root word came from the word jewels. And so the man that I was studying, you know, some stuff that Teresa had given me, and he said, might have been pearls. I thought that was interesting. Might have been pearls. And then I thought about, well, that's what a lot of brides wear on their wedding day. They wear pearls. And I just wondered if that might be connected. Anybody have a thought on that? I'm going to think of it that way. I like that. That's going to be my new thought. That's where the pearls came from. Do you know?
Christy, we've been studying heaven in our class.
Uh-huh.
And the 12 gates are large pearls. So I mean, how much more precious than that?
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. So that's neat, though, to think about the fact that the jewels could be whatever. It's jewels, so that's the point. All right. So, but it says in verse 11, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. He has confidence in her. Now, that's a lot right there. He trusts her and he has confidence in her. Now, confidence in her in all kind of ways, in regards to their home, in regards to how the children are being raised. And so it's talking about her integrity, her discretion. He's confident in her ability to determine, to make good decisions, her discretion, her discernment, important things. No lack of gain. I like that. He knows he is safe with her. She is trustworthy. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then we see, so first, in fact, let me back up and say that there are six main things of an excellent wife or woman that I want to give you this morning. The first one is she's as a person of character. Person of character was the first thing, and that's what we were just reading about. The second thing is that she was a devoted homemaker. That's kind of found in verses 13 through 24, but not verse 20. So verse 20 is going to kind of pull out of this. But in verses 13 through 24, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up early while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. This passage shows her skills as a homemaker. She's full of energy. Wow, that would be awesome. She's full of energy in regard to duties of the home. It talks about the wool, and it says here that she selects wool and flax. And what that's talking about is wool is for the winter clothing that she has to make in this passage. Flax is for the linen. This is the raw material she used to make the wool for the winter and the linen for the summer when they're so hot. And so that's what that's talking about there. But she does these things. This is the key to it all, is that she takes care of her household because, and so what is her motivation? And that's what I really wanted to think about in this passage. What motivates her to want to do all these things, to make all the clothes, to make the coverings for the bed? They literally made the covers on the bed and everything else, but it's out of the joy of her heart. Why does that bring her joy? Well, because when she sees her work, she sees it as good. It's not with drudgery. It is with, this is good and this is right. This is what I want to do. And she finds joy. She delights in it. She has pleasure in it. And I think more than looking at all these things and saying, wow, I'm glad I didn't live back then, I look at it and I say, you know, I want to have that heart. I don't want the duties of the household to be of drudgery. I really don't want them to. You know, that's not where I really want to be in my heart. I want to be proud of my work and look back at the house and say, this is a nice, you know, place that we provided for our kids. You know, it's a nice place to come home to. It's home. That's, you know, and the kids are dressed warm in the winter and they're cool in the summer. And that's the point of this passage. She took care of her household. She took care of her estate. Now, what's kind of interesting here is, and I want to point this out, is this, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. Now, she considers a field and she buys it. She's an enterprising woman. She's actually contributing. This is what I talked to you about earlier, that she is working in a different kind of way besides just her home. The lesson writers and people that study this passage talk about the fact that her husband provides for the household needs. But if she sees a vineyard, or a property that she thinks she could do something with, like, and make it a vineyard and plant. And she has maidservants and people that work with her in this passage. So she would purchase that and grow grapes or whatever and make a vineyard. And so she was, and it, she would bring extra money into the house. So she was that little something extra. She did contribute. I thought that was interesting. And she, so she's got a good head on her shoulders. She's a businesswoman to a degree there. I think that's neat. So she has earnings, and she's, they mentioned it, one of the guys that was looking at this passage that I was studying said it was more for the capital things, like the extra things that they might have needed around the land. But she develops new opportunities. She's also in the passage, you see that she's healthy and she's strong physically to be able to labor to the intensity that she does. Okay. And then so number three is she's a generous neighbor. Let's look at verse 20. It says she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. You know, that's important to mention that she is sacrificial and compassionate. She reaches out. You know, I can only imagine with all the things in this passage that the women of that day were expected to do, and they didn't have the conveniences, the modern conveniences that we have. And, you know, we were really blessed to have washing machines and dryers and air conditioning and heat and things like that. But still, even though you would think that this ideal woman, this woman would be so tired, she still reached out to the poor. She still reached out, which means it wasn't like she just heard about something. She reached out. Reach out is different. It's when you check on things. You check on people. You're listening more. You're more in tune. You're looking for opportunities. That's reaching out. So she was a very generous neighbor. My voice needs a rest for a second. But do any of you want to share? I wanted to do this morning to kind of insert a little bit because it's Mother's Day. Is there any little story or something that anything I've said so far brings to your mind that you'd like to share with us? Honor somebody today. And we're going to keep going with the lesson, but I want to pause for a minute and see if anybody, if I've shared anything in this that made you think of somebody, something about your mom or grandmother or somebody that influenced your life. Yes.
My mother passed away in 2003, but she was a stay-at-home mom, and she made sure that we were taken care of. She sewed our clothes. She cleaned our house. That was her job, and she took joy in doing it and loved to bake and was a fabulous cook.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful tribute and memory, isn't it? It's a good memory. Love the smell of certain foods, bring back memories. If you're going to your mama's house or grandmother's house or someone, they're cooking something that you grew up smelling. It's a neat thing, isn't it? It just brings you back when you cook it, and it reminds you of a good time. That's good. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else?
I'd like to say that we have such great women. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why didn't he put a woman ahead of the household instead of a man?
That's so good. That is so good. I think that two become one for a reason. I think we need each other in so many areas in a marriage. I really think it does take two many, many ways. And I commend the women who are able to do it by themselves. And single parenting, I can't even imagine. I want to just give my salute to you all who have done that or are doing it. That is amazing to me. My husband's out of town this weekend, and I'm a little bit, you know, lost. It's different. I can only imagine if that was my daily, my life. That's what it was. So, but I do, I appreciate y'all's stories. I like that. That's funny. I remember that. I hope I'm behind you. I can hear what he says to that. I want to hear that answer. Now the fourth thing that this excellent woman, a woman of noble character, is that she was an influential person. She was a teacher. She was an influential teacher. Let's look at verses 25 and 26. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Now that's good. She is clothed with spiritual strength and dignity. When you're clothed, in other words, when you clothe, you're protected, you're wrapped, you're wearing that, okay? So she's finding strength, not in herself, right? But she's finding her strength in the Lord. The spiritual strength that she's finding is coming from God, and it gives her dignity. And she's her family listens. They respect that. They see that in her. And she teaches it because she lives it. Now think about that. The opportunity as women to live out what we're trying to teach those that we that are under our instruction, that are in our within our voice and within our life. So we should live the very thing that we want to teach. She has aspired her son to be a man of integrity. So therefore she must be a woman of integrity. And she wanted him to care about the poor, and so she showed him, and she took care of the poor and the needy. And so that's how the cycle works. But she was influential. She was a teacher. And you know, sometimes we may fail to think about our role as the teacher in our home, and maybe that's something to think about this morning too. But she loved it, she lived it, she taught it, she was influential in a very positive way. And I love this line, that she can laugh at the days to come. You know, sometimes we just have to laugh, because what else are you going to do? You just have to laugh. We're going to get through this, laugh at the future, laugh at our age, laugh at, you know, the situation. And laughter is the best medicine. And I shared that with you when I was here before. And I told you that we were talking about finding margin in our lives, a little something extra. One of the things we talked about that day was that a four-year-old child laughs on the average of about once every 4 minutes. And you think about that. If we laughed about every 4 minutes, how much happier we would be. We laughed at ourselves and laughed at, you know, be careful laughing at others. But you know, I like the old saying, we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. But anyway, but still laughing and just smiling and knowing, because we do mess up. We are not this perfect woman. We're just not. And if you are, I want to meet you, because I want to try to figure out how you did it. But we have to sometimes laugh at the past, and then just, you know, thank goodness his mercies are new every morning, and so we get a fresh new start, a fresh new day to try to go forward. And so we might as well laugh and deal with it and go forward. So I don't want you to miss that little line out of this passage. Now, in this, so she's an influential teacher, and then the fifth thing is she's an effective mother. Verses 27 and 28 talk about that. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Really neat thing. She, you know, talked, we I kind of skipped over it, but she rises early and her children, and they call her blessed. She, in order to watch over the household, you know, so many times it requires a little planning, doesn't it? And, you know, church on Sunday morning when your children are young, trying to figure out what everybody's going to wear. You wait till Sunday morning to figure all that out. You learn that trial and error, but that's a rough way to start Sunday morning when you have to start ironing and then something's in the wash and it's the very shirt you need to go with this outfit. And then so, you know, I'm picturing as I read this and bringing it to today that she planned, she organized. And I think that as women, that is an important gift and skill that God gives to us, is the ability to look ahead. So many of us have our calendars and our, well, we do it now on our little phones and everything else, but that's so critical. I know that I've been in some of your homes and you have, like I do, you have things hanging up and to-do list and that's okay. Whatever works to make it more organized, you know, and I think that planning ahead and being organized does makes things smoother, makes things go better. And I think that our families, our husbands, and our kids, whether they want to admit it or not, I think they appreciate it. I think it helps keep things a little smoother. And so when I read this passage, I think of that she was not lazy. She worked. She could, you know, she planned ahead. She got up early to make the house kick off on the right beat in the morning. And I think a lot of women do that. I know that that works better at my house if I'm the first one up and a lot of times the last one to bed to make sure everything's wrapped up nice and tight like I like it, and then I wake up and it's like I like it and get it ready going, and that just seems to work. And maybe that's how it's supposed to be. I don't know. But, you know, you live for the day that your children rise up and they acknowledge it and they realize it. And that is so wonderful. You know, when your kids are not, when they do get beyond the diaper stage and they get a little older and they're able to to tell you that they do love you and that, you know, that thank you and happy Mother's Day and all those things are good. Even though, like Sonia said, she got a late happy Mother's Day this morning. After she told her mother happy Mother's Day, then her boy said, oh, yeah, happy Mother's Day. She said, it doesn't count. But that happens. That happens to all of us, and it's all good. But, you know, we want to leave a legacy for our children. We want to leave a legacy for the people that we influence that are in our life. We want it to be positive, and we want them to, you know, to say kind things, and that's our reward. Our reward's with our Heavenly Father. But the one on earth is the feedback that we get, and the hug, and it's okay, Mom, or it's, you know, I love you and I'm proud of you, or whatever. You know, those are the things that really, really matter. Isn't that what just revs your motor up a little bit? And even, you know, I'm an adult child, as many of you are, and, you know, when I tell my mother that I appreciate her and thank you for thinking of me, and she gave me the sweetest card and gave it to me last night, and it was just, I don't know how she found this card, but it just was so my life and everything in it. And so I know many of you are careful to do that. And it's just so neat to be when people realize it, and especially your children. And her husband praises her. What a good thing. So when that happens, though, is when you say, I made the right investment. Investment of my time, investment of my thought processes, investment in the Lord to teach me, and investment in my time in the scripture to learn what's important and how God wants me to be as a woman and an influential person with my family and coworkers. And so, you know, when you have positive feedback, like it says here in this passage, that's when she says it was all worth it. You know, it's all worth it. And sometimes you wonder about things, but it's always good just to remember that it is going to all be worth it. It is all worth it today. And then the last thing in number 6 is she her excellence as a saint. She feared the Lord, and we see that it says many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. That is the ultimate, you know, for God to say, you've been a woman of noble character. You've lived a good life. And the people that I put in your path, your children, your spouse, your sisters, your brothers, your coworkers, you've influenced them positively. You have walked the walk and not just, you know, talked the talk. And but she had reverence. In fact, I want to flip over to Proverbs 9:10 and read that to you. You know it already, but I'm going to just flip over here. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. She knew that, this in this passage. It was the core of her character. And if the very core, the very center of all that we are is about pleasing God, and if we're trying to please God, then we can't help but please our spouse or please our children and please the other people in our life. If we're trying to please God first and keeping that divine order, and I think that even though they put this last, again, it's kind of like when Lemuel's mother, King Lemuel's mother, was talking to him, she kind of went with the most important things last. And I think we do that with our kids, and they're walking out the door, da 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 da, and don't forget to put your seatbelt on. You know, we give them that last punch because it's really the most important thing. If you didn't hear anything about the curfew, you just get that seatbelt on. You know, and that's how we do. And I think that when I read this passage, that's what this mother was doing. She was, you know, she went through all the things and then find a wife of noble character. And then last but not least, she should be a woman who fears the Lord. If you didn't hear anything else I said, she should be a woman who fears the Lord. So I think that when we follow how she shared this with her son, it's so important to see what's important in the order of things. Loving God, He should be at the core of our character. And that our reverence for Him, His Word, His Son, is so important. And that's what we want to, you know, share with those around us. You know, we have the opportunity to influence people, and we don't ever want to take that lightly. Our role in society as women is so important. People do listen to women. They do. Sometimes the men don't want to admit that they listen, but they do. They do depend on us. In our role in the church, we play a vital role in the church. The women do, and we should never take any of these things lightly. But we in and of ourselves are not equipped to to handle it all. God did give us characteristics and qualities and traits that go with being women, but we need God at the core of it. And we have to be very careful that we ever don't feel self-sufficient. Or, you know, when things are going good, look what a great home I've done here, you know, set up here. What a great marriage I have. You know, it doesn't happen like that. If God's not in the core of it, and He's not the center of it, and we're not motivated by the joy of serving God, then I don't think it can be blessed as much. I just think that there'll be problems. And, you know, and I'll tell you something else. I firmly believe, too, that there are women who do all these things right and still things go wrong. Doesn't mean that they were a bad person or that they did anything wrong necessarily. You know what I'm saying? I think that God just that's how life is. And God uses difficult circumstances sometimes. Because I've been empowered, as I know you have, to see women sometimes who've come through some big struggles. And I've received such a blessing in how they handled that. And I thought, dear God, how, you know, I'm so glad that didn't happen to me, because I don't know that I could have been that person to have handled that well, or managed things and kept my head up or whatever. So, you know, I just admire women who strive to have these characteristics. The do-nots, the do's, and finding an excellent wife. Those were the main things that she was sharing with him. So, great passage. I hope that I did it some justice. But thank you so much. And if you have anything else you want to share, or anybody else want to share a Mother's Day story, a tribute? Got a little few minutes here. Anybody? Nobody? It's your moment to salute your mom. It's nice to see all these. Yeah, I like that. She said, salute. That's good. That's so good. I do appreciate having my daughter here today, one of my daughters, and all these daughters and moms. It's great to be with your mom today. Be with your mom while you have her, huh? All right, well, let's close in prayer, and I thank you again for giving me the opportunity to be here this morning. I know, as I've told you before, you know that it's tough to fill Teresa's shoes, so, but I enjoy being here with you all. You're a great class, so let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day and the beauty of it. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here today and to share your word, and I just accept this challenge to be this woman of noble character, and I know that I will never, ever meet all of these characteristics, Lord, on earth. But Lord, I just pray that maybe this morning that you will just bring me back and bring us back to looking at our motivation and the core of who we are for being the women that we are, Lord, that we'll keep our focus on you, that we will come back to you, and that the work that we do won't just be toil and just, you know, laborious. Lord, we just want to do things, Lord, that honor you. We want to see that the end result is that we're pleasing to you, Lord. And that the byproduct of serving you will be that our husbands and the children in our life will call us blessed. Lord, we are so blessed. Thank you for our health and our safety. And Lord, I just lift up all these prayer requests that were mentioned at the beginning of the lesson. I pray that you'll meet each need in your perfect way. You are the great physician. You can provide all healing that takes place, Lord. We know that. And we know that you're the provider, and that you know all of these needs before we even mention them. But Lord, because we want to be a part of how you're going to meet them, we want to pray. We want to intercede so that we can be there to see what you do and tell others. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this church and the opportunity to come here today. We lift up Brother Greg now. And as we go into this service, I pray that you would continue to speak to us today and show us what you want us to learn from this day of celebrating our moms. For it's in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.